I'm Chad Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Elisa Crawley, a New Zealand-born, Los Angeles-based singer-songwriter, who has just issued the new EP, New Girl Syndrome. In this conversation, we discussed her relocation to North America, her audiences in New Zealand and Australia, as well as the musical notes that seem to follow her everywhere. That's Elisa Crawley on Into Music, coming up now. So you, when you came over, you didn't really know anybody? You just were like...
Not particularly. I'd come over in 2019 for 2 months. I was living in Melbourne at the time, and I wanted to kind of really get a sense of if I did want to make that kind of move, because reinventing your life is kind of exhausting. But I felt like I'd really wanted to live in the States for a long time, and it just circumstantially wasn't possible. And so I kind of had this few things wrapped up in Australia, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go. And so I went and did a residency at the Banff Center in Canada, like a songwriting thing there. And then I was like, spent 2 months here. And before I went through with the whole visa lawyer thing. So I got a sense for it then. And I got my publishing rights back 2015, and there was a conference over here, and that was, I thought, oh, I'll just go over there. So, and saved up and went over to this music conference and by myself, and booked a couple little shows and got a bit of a sense for the place. And I'd come back for some songwriting sessions in 2018. So I'd come over like a couple of times just to get a sense of it. So I knew some people. I didn't have a core group of friends or any work lined up. I just knew I could work in music as per my visa. So then I got here and I was like, okay, time to find some find some gigs and find some work. And yeah, got a couple of little things and everything shut down. So just waited around and then pretty much said yes to every gig when things were opening up slightly at the end of 2021. And then put out an EP during that time that I'd sort of written remotely with someone that I work with quite a lot. As something to do there. And then, yeah, I just would go into venues and introduce myself and find out who books the things. And yeah, I just did as much as I could to catch up on, yeah, just establishing myself here. And then by that time, my first visa had almost gone. So I renewed for another one and really began to sort of establish myself a bit more and be able to find work, which is... It's tricky. When I say work, it's some of it's songwriting and some of it's like session keyboard playing. Some of it's playing for 5 hours in a piano bar. People yell requests at you. Yeah. So I do like LA for the different things I've done growing up. There seems to be kind of room for in a way. But I think it's always balancing that, okay, what's the goal here? And I think that's something that a lot of people that probably come here get caught up in lots of different things. And it's easy to, so much going on all the time to stay focused. And for me, as there was that panic of like, oh, but what if I don't get asked again to do something if I say no to that? So it's just kind of like at the point now where I'm like, hey, I do really want to just be prioritizing getting my music out and what can I afford to say, you know, let's not do that right now. But yeah, at the same time, I'm grateful for like actual work that's allowed me to get back on my feet here. That's a long answer to your question. But I do have some great friends here now and good communities and feel like really great songwriter communities and feel grateful that it's for that around the place because it can be a lonely place as well, which I definitely have felt too.
So I'm guessing that you had like some sort of audience back home.
I had been putting music out in New Zealand since 2007 and 8, like when I was still, you know, just kind of leaving uni. I guess I was in a high school band that kind of went for a few more years after high school, but then it sort of fizzled out and I wasn't the primary songwriter for that. So that kind of really allowed me or forced me to get more into my own songwriting, which I'd always enjoyed, but I just sort of took the back seat with that in that band because I was sort of a new addition to that, which was a lot of fun. We're playing in bars since we were 14, really, and yeah, it was a great introduction to some of that lifestyle. Whether it was, always good or not, that's a different story. But it was, we'd bring our parents along to gigs, and I developed a pretty loyal audience in New Zealand. I was never going to be like, I think as someone that's been doing it for a long time, and I was sort of in this like in between. I felt like at the time in New Zealand, maybe there was either like, okay, you're really poppy or you're really alternative and indie. And so if you're in between, I sort of felt like there was more opportunity, especially radio, I suppose, at that time, like of in Australia, like Triple J and that kind of thing, Double J. So I would, but I'd play a lot in New Zealand and I would have lovely audiences, but I was never like, a lord that was found early and marketed and everything. It's just been me kind of chipping away for a long time and developing my sound that way, which, yeah, I had a strong interest in theater and wanted to study that overseas, but got into one when I was still 17 overseas, but it was just crazy expensive. So I figured out what could I do instead. So I took a year off and then did a year of jazz school. But I was always playing piano somewhere. And then from there, someone asked if I'd go to Japan. And at the age of 19, I moved to Japan and started playing and singing there. And that really, really was 4 months of Groundhog Day, 7 days a week, 7 nights a week, same music and same everything with no internet or English speakers. So it really was like after that, I was like, okay, now's the time to really like start playing my own songs to people. And that's when I went to London for a while and just played every open mic and things I could and stayed 6 months to the day before I had to get kicked out of there for visa stuff. So really started to develop my own songwriting a bit more, I'd say, over there for the first time I lived there. But New Zealand is still probably, I don't know, if I look at my stats and all that kind of thing, Australia, New Zealand, I do get more airplay and it's a smaller pool of people there. But I did quite a number of like tours around New Zealand, but compared to the States, it's substantially less places to play. So, but yeah, I do get nice messages from people back home saying that it, and words of encouragement and everything. So,
I don't mean to belabor it, but I mean, that's such a huge leap to make. Like, I have something, I want to pursue it, and I've got this, and this is solid enough. This is, this will do in a pinch, but I want to go for something different.
Yeah, I knew that kind of I think that it's been blessing and a curse to be able to play other people's music fairly easily or pick up on things quickly, and that's been a way of earning money to supplement my own music. Creatively, it can kind of have an impact sometimes, but other times it can be a real blessing of like learning about song structure and what goes into a song. So and then writing with other people and for projects and to brief, I guess is been like I'm glad I've had experience in those different styles to kind of help with that. I did a year of jazz school was where I went for a year and then just didn't really feel it was the right fit for me. There was actually no piano teacher for half the course, so I was like, what am I doing? Didn't feel quite right, and I loved the idea of traveling and so I took that leap in Japan and then as a way of just an adventure really, and it certainly was one. And from London, like the response to my little gigs was really great, so it was just like encouraging. And from there, decided that that would be something I really wanted to pursue more seriously. I suppose it's been a way, like I've definitely moved places maybe without thinking things through, but I also do think things through a lot. It's kind of a weird balance. I'm sort of like just kind of gone where I feel drawn to go, I suppose, and without, but still wanting to establish myself there. But visa wise for the UK, I lived there again for a year after, shortly after that. But yeah, visa expired, and so from there, met to New Zealand for a while, made a new EP, and then decided because my music was getting picked up in Australia a bit to relocate there. It was sort of an easier move. So I did 5 years in Melbourne there as well, popping back and forth for shows in New Zealand.
Let's talk a little bit about the EP. So, what kind of made this the right group of songs to kind of fit together?
I think the emphasis on wanting to have a more piano driven EP than to the previous stuff I'd been releasing that I really, really like have enjoyed releasing and writing, and it's just, it was sort of done in a different environment. So I really kind of missed starting at the piano, and rather than the stuff that I put out during the pandemic was with a really close collaborator of mine. His name's Rob Kleiner, and he's such a great producer and so clever and a great musician as well. But there was like no actual piano there. So this time I wanted to work in a studio that did have one, and just sort of get back to my roots there, I suppose. And so I'd had a couple of demos, and then I was doing a dinner party at end of 2022, I think. And it was like 10 people were there, and I didn't really know what I was doing there. I was like playing cocktail piano or something. And then it turned into this like piano sing along of a Queen song that Jack Black initiated with his bass player, John Spiker. And it was just this funny moment. And it was then I talked to John a bit more there. And he was like, "Oh, who are you? And what do you do?" And, learned more about his production. And so, yeah, had a nice rapport with him, and we stayed in touch. He was kind of busy with Tenacious D, and but when things settled down a bit, I sent him some demos, and it was just like he chose the ones that he felt like were a good fit for us to work on together. They're songs that I'd written, so they were less of a co-write than some of the others that I'd been doing before moving to America. I'd never really done co-writing, so that was a way of working with Rob and writing together was really, really great. And I'm really keen to get back into doing that again soon too. But really just the instrumentation that John had in the studio and his background and some of his, and even though he's in like a kind of rock comedy band or whatever, like he's a very versatile musician, and just had a meeting with him and talked about it. And I had a really great feeling about working with him, and brought in, live drummer, and just a way of doing things that I maybe did back in New Zealand. Smaller studio than like the huge ones that I would rent out in New Zealand, just because it was sort of what you did then. And but John has his own studio, and it's got everything you need, and the piano was had a great feel. So that's sort of how those four songs came together. And I could have put a few more on there, but I just felt like I didn't need to this time around. So yeah, I sent him some demos, and we just kind of picked away at it. And he would do the guitars and bass, and I'd talk about this, would share some of the synth stuff, and I'd arrange the clarinets and bring those. I'd do those at home and bring those along. And yeah, it's like the songs are not all super similar in terms of arrangements and instrumentation, but I feel like they work pretty nicely together. So that's kind of how that came about. The EP before that was all songs. I was trying to find a theme to release something during the pandemic, for my own sanity, really. And I had a bunch of songs that were all in the key of A major, that were either love songs or breakup songs. So that was my theme there. I'm very much like a pitch person. Like I hear notes everywhere and things. So for me, like, oh, the key of A actually has a feeling to me. So that was that reason. But this was just songs that felt like right for me at the moment to release.
What is different for you in terms of collaborating? Like, I know for some people, I think they sometimes think, it would be kind of difficult to give something up and kind of say, okay, well, you run with this for a while, or to get maybe pushback sometimes, or sometimes something goes in a different direction. Was any of that kind of like initially like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's interesting. Sometimes I think it's like going in with a strong idea and being attached to it, and then sometimes that not working out, or the other person thinking is it's an interesting experience. I know, like with improv comedy, I think it's maybe similar as well. If someone's doing a scene and you're like, "I've got this amazing idea, and I'm sticking to it, and I'm not gonna be open to what my, scene partner is doing," then it's just gonna be kind of awkward. So perhaps, or you miss out on something that someone else could bring. Yeah, a couple of times I'm like, oh no, I really would like to say that, or but I, Rob and I seem to like have pretty similar minds. He's got a great pop brain as well, and but also like would suggest something a bit weird, like, okay, well, we can have that third line that doesn't have a fourth one, that's fine, or how about we do this? And I don't think there was ever anything that I walked away with feeling like, especially lyrically, like any sense of doom about like no opinion. I was like, oh no. I mean, there's songs that we've done that we're both kind of like, maybe I didn't like one as much and he didn't like one as much, and so we're like, well, let's keep these just to sit on those. Yeah, but generally, I met him at a music festival in Hawaii and in 2018, which was like more of a songwriting thing, and he was a mentor there, and I was just like, oh, I'll go to Hawaii. Yeah, that sounds fun with my friend. And we bonded because it was like quite an earnest and very like, I mean, New Zealanders were more lean towards the British dry sarcastic humor and things. And I felt like, oh my goodness, am I the most jaded person at this conference? Because everyone's like, hey, man, yeah, things are happening. We're hustling. And like, yeah, this song's got influences of this and this, man. We're just like, respect the grind. And I was just like, what is this thing? And Rob and I were just like, both loved Peep Show, the TV show, and both loved like the Dresden, which is one of the places I perform at now, but like the history of that place and like sort of darker comedy. So we just like connected on a friendship level. And like I could kind of tell he wasn't like as, he was sort of like so different to some of the people there, even though he's very clever with pop music and very writes a lot of music for film and TV and ads and stuff. And now, yeah, I guess he became an actual friend rather than just like someone that I would write with. So him and his partner, like my tight friend group here, and they really helped me out during the pandemic with anything that I sort of needed, and would have like a movie club with his group of friends every Friday. So I always like really respect that, and I think that's given us a good foundation of writing and just like similar bands as well as that. So he was in a punk band called Tub Ring back in Chicago, and even though he's writing with like Britney Spears sometimes or something, like, yeah, I think he and we kind of understand each other. So, and that's a long answer to your question, sort of. But I definitely have gone away with some random co-writing sessions being like, oh, I don't know if I want to do it. I think I just want to trust myself for this. And sometimes you do it because you're like, this person's an amazing producer, so you share the master and that sort of things. But that's when I kind of feel like start to feel a bit dirty or something. Like, am I just doing this to get a free recording? Or like, do I like this song? Could this be something that's good for a movie but not good for me? Like, there's things that I, nothing's wasted necessarily. But those experiences have been good for like getting to where I am now, being like, no, I actually have this collection of songs, it's just me, and I've saved up a bit of money to do it how I want to do it. And yeah, other times I'm like, wow, this is so much co-writing. This is so much better than I could have come up with. Or this chord progression is didn't need to be as complex as, and it's good to work with someone that maybe doesn't put as many like jazzy notes and stuff. So yeah, I think everything is a learning experience there.
I want to ask you about something you said that about like notes being everywhere. Is that something that was just like always there, like as far as you can remember?
You know what? I don't have my dad plays a bit of saxophone, but my mom's not a musician. Recently found out that someone in our family that we didn't know existed like was a piano player or something. But I didn't think know about it until a family friend that plays woodwind instruments, like I think I was two and singing along to something, and he told my mom to start me on recorder when I was four, because he thought that I had really good pitch. And so that's kind of when I started playing, and from there went to like piano, clarinet, and other things. But really like grateful that my parents like listened to that guy, and you know, for better or worse, who knows? But you know, like if he hadn't said that, I don't know if, I mean, I probably would have fell into music one way or another, but he was the one that sort of said that. And then I think there was a time I could realize, probably around like eight or something, that I could tell what note someone was playing. Yeah, but I play clarinet as well, which is in a whole different key register, which is a little challenging with that. But yeah, so I play by ear a lot as well as reading actual music, and it's good for like arranging things, being able to kind of hear the note that you want to do. And not saying that I sing in tune all the time, I'm just harder on myself when I don't, I think. But yeah, it was something that I sort of like, oh, okay, I guess it's just what people do and can hear. But realized it's a good party trick, and also like can be difficult if you're so used to something being one key and you're like, oh, but okay, some people hear in intervals and numbers, the Nashville number system with chords. But for me, I'm like, oh, that's a D. Or someone's like, oh, just change the button on the keyboard to be the transpose button. But for me, that's like maddening to press a C and it not to sound like a C. It's just like very confusing. So that's, Yeah, that's sort of something in my brain. I just sort of like have little, oh, that car reversing is a higher D on the discount recorder or something. You know, it's just like entertain myself with nerdy things like that.
You've been listening to a conversation with Lisa Crawley. Her new EP, New Girl Syndrome, is out now. You can learn more about it and all her work at Lisa Crawley, that's CrawLey.com. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next time.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money podcast from NPR.